watch the news.
I didn't know Donnie's grandbaby though. I know Donnie, but I didn't see nothing. What happened?
He's in the hospital from that sickness, whatever
they was
catching around
there. RVS or whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it right after this, but I promise we'll get together, you and I. We're gonna go in a circle and pray, you and I.
Y'all didn't know.
No,
y'all ain't said nothing.
No. Well, we're gonna pray for Donnie's baby right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would visit that family, Father. Go in that room and take that baby, Lord, and wrap him in your arms, Father God. Dry up from the root, Lord, anything that's not of you. Any virus, any germ, any curse, any demon, any imp, anything that's not from you that's bothering that child, Lord, you cancel that assignment right now. We stand in the gap for him right now, Father God. And if we found any favor in your sight, Lord, we pray for favor for that family and that child. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. What gives you status? You know, I used to think that I go all the way back. I go back in school. I thought, well, you know, elementary school, if you could fight, if you could run fast and fight, you know, because you always had races and things like that. If you could run fast and you could fight, that gave you status in elementary school. You know, and you knew there was a pecking order. Now, I can whoop Bobby, but Brad can whoop, I can whoop Bobby, and Bobby can whoop Brad, but you know, it was just a pecking order. And you didn't actually say it, but you knew it. In elementary school, where I went, you knew it. It was a pecking order. In the square, like we were in the projects, it was a pecking order. We knew who was who. Try them if you want to. And every now and then you get foggy, you want to move up in status, you try them. You know, that don't always come out real well. But you know. But then as you get older, for me, I played a lot of sports. Fought in a lot of karate tournaments. Played a lot of basketball, a lot of softball, a lot of things like that. And I thought that was my status. You know, I played basketball, my name in the paper. First game of the season, 17 points, 20 rebounds. From that point on, I got so arrogant. You know, I was so arrogant. I'm Mr. Lyle, you know what I mean? I do what I want to do. I'm captain of the ball team, you know? And you know what? I was 30 years old, 35, and still bragging on that because my life was so jacked up. I didn't have no accomplishments after that. No accomplishments. You know, something's wrong when you're 35 or 40 years old and you're still bragging about you as a high school prom queen. That's the last thing you've done to accomplish? My goodness. You know, you're 50 years old and you was captain of the basketball team? Good God. It's the last thing you've done? You know, and I used to think status, I got older. In the streets, you know, start selling a little bit of dope. Thought money give you status. I became my best customer. After a while, I would even open the door. People out there just knocking. I hear him on the porch talking. I know he's in there. I see him moving around. Man, I got 5 rocks left. And yeah, I'm not selling a half of one. I'm not selling a one. You know, and I thought that gave me status. So then after that, I fell off the dope as a dope dealer, became the dope fiend. Now, in the dope fiend, I used to commit felonies. Now, I'm going to tell you my story. I'm going to tell you the truth. I committed felonies every day. So I was not a baby dope fiend. I was a dope fiend. I committed felonies every day because I had to get high. And everybody was fair game. Everybody was fair game. I thought that gave me status because I done ran out, I done ripped somebody off, I done ripped some off $300, and I eased up in the crack house looking like some cat drug is. 50 pounds on the weight, filthy, dirty, stinking, but I got a handful of rocks, so that'd make me king of the castle for a minute. Well, that status made me king of the castle. So then after a while, like always, police get behind me. Now, I'd outrun them 1 or 2 times, but they start cornering me off. they cornered me off, buddy. I could not run them all, put the dog on me, all kind of different stuff. So I go to prison. Now I get to prison, I go through jail, and I do a few push-ups, and I read the Bible, and you know, I'm gonna be a jailhouse preacher. I'm the jailhouse preacher, but I'm in there doing this, I'm hustling, doing everything I can do, getting this, steady going on to all the the little black gangster disciples. I used to belong to a street game called the Black Gangster Disciples. Went to all the sixes and nines. I'm in there throwing my forks up. I'm in there peeking about who's coming in. But I'm reading the Bible over here and having a Bible study on the side. But I'm over here peeking to see who's who, you know, because you ain't in the status. You know, we need to get something together. I go down to prison, and then I remember one time they had a little boat. So the guy with the first seat left, and so they had a boat. They said, "Now they had a guy out of Chicago and me. We're running for first seat of the Black Gangster Disciples." And you thought in my mind I'd run for president.
Yeah.
You thought I was running for president. Man, I was proud. I was going through the institution, proud. You couldn't tell me nothing. And then you know what's crazy? Then about that time, her father would come in and bring the team. I'd be the first one up there running, like I'm standing on something. You know what? And somebody may say it didn't do any good, but every time I went in front of them, it put a brick in the foundation of the man I am today and the man that I'm going to become in God. Because I'd go back out and I'd act a fool and look silly. Me and Elijah Harris. Anybody know Elijah Harris?
Yep.
Me and Elijah Harris slept next to each other in Westville. I used to date his sister years ago, long time ago, while I was in the Army. But anyway, we slept next to each other in Westville. He got his Bible, I got my Bible. Now he tell me, "Hey, Lyle, they got prison fellowship tonight." I'm going, Elijah, you know I'm going. About that time, a good shipment of weed done come in. I go behind the locker, give me a couple hits. Now I'm peeking. I hear him call prison fellowship over the speaker. So I get to the back of the door behind the locker, and I'm peeking to make sure Elijah going out the door. Now, I know he probably saw me sometimes, but he just wasn't going to drag me. He wasn't going to drag me. But let me tell you the story about that. Elijah said he wasn't going back. Elijah said he gave his life to God.
Amen.
He said there was something different in his walk, and he just wasn't going to go back. Now, I get out of prison 4 or 5 years later, and of course I stay out for a good 6 months. You know, a good dope fiend stay out 6 months, maybe eight. And because you know, I'm absconded. You know, I hadn't finished no parole, because that's just the way it was for a dope fiend. I'm not going to finish no parole. I do it for a couple, three times, but then after that, I'm getting high. And I ain't got time to go down to the parole office. You know, I'm doing something right here. So you know, because we had that saying, how ignorant I was, we had that saying on the street that the catching come before the hanging. You ever heard that saying? Yes. The catching come before the hanging. But I'm going to tell you something, there was always a catching and there was always a hanging. I was always hung out to dry. But anyway, I go to jail. Oh, it's about 5 years later, I go to jail and the first person I see is Elijah. Only difference is, he got on a shirt and a tie. And I got on his orange suit once again. See, he stayed true to what he was saying. See, because something inside of me told me, if I can make you think I'm living right, then everything is okay. Every time your dad never come in, I rush and get him a chair. I love your mom and dad. Two of the sweetest people you ever want to meet on this side of earth. I can't wait to see them in heaven. I can't wait to see them. But I'd run and get him a chair, and your mom's in cold. Hold on, I'm running to the dorm and get a blanket. Her dad said, "No, don't you bring a blanket out here, you know, because I was just going to break the rules because I am that good Christian." Mm-hmm. While you're watching.
While you're watching.
See, because I thought status means if I had the biggest store in the joint. If I remember one time going down through, I was in Westville on IC side, and I remember smelling weed down the hall, and me being a good weed fiend I was too, I didn't have much money, didn't have no weed, so I went down there and made a call because I knew who had it. And I said, "I tell you what, nobody be caught smoking weed down this hallway unless it come through the Black Gangster Disciples." That's how ignorant I was. I got to come through the Black Gangster Disciples, or I'm not smoking it down through here. I smell weed. A few hours later, I get up, go look in the room, and it was one of my friends out of Fort Wayne. Some of y'all probably know him. We got that name of Bobby. Bobby Galbraith. I don't know if you know Bobby or not. Good friend of mine. Good friend of mine. And it was him smoking. Him and another guy. Now, I don't want to jump on Bobby. I had like a real liking for Bobby. But I had made a call. I had already creed this is what's going to happen. I did it in the name of the Black Gangster Disciples. And way back then, if you step off of your word, you stand on your word, you got a mouth shot. Or go through the penny pickup. One of those things, you know what I mean? Now, so yeah, I got violation. So I got to go in the room on them. So I ran in the room on them. I felt bad. I really did. But they told me where the weed was stashed. I tricked the police, let me in that room, tore loose the little dresser and took all the weed. And I'm telling you this, not to talk about or to put a limelight on that life. I'm telling you what status meant to me and where it took me. So I took all the weed from the Aryan Brotherhood. I took all the weed and I had it hidden. Now, it's time for me to go home. And here come one of the little guys. My family was coming to get me that day. I'm already dressed out. I'm in the dorm, waiting on them to call me up front. And here come a guy. Hey, Cal Sauce. I'll turn around, what's up, man? You know, because I know he knows that I got and took this stuff, right? Hey, man, here, I got something for you, man. Come on, burn one with me. I said, man, you don't get away from me, I'll kill you. But I thought that meant status to me. I thought that meant status to me. You know what I found out meant status to me? Like that young man right there said, when I changed my life and my mindset and I became humble, when I didn't have to go first, I didn't have to have the most, I didn't have to be the one, you didn't have to know I did it for you. It just didn't matter. I just was tired of living the way I was living. I couldn't whip everybody. I got out of jail one time, October the 8th, and my people come up there and got me. October the 9th, there was a warrant for my arrest. So they chased me that night and couldn't catch me. I told you, because I was one of those good athletes. If there had been a crackhead Olympic, I'd had a gold medal. Because I could run high, I could jump, it's all that, you know, it didn't matter. I had a warrant for my arrest October the 9th. I had done 5 straight calendars. Got out October the 8th, October the 9th. The police were looking for me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody, I'm not pointing fingers at nobody because I don't know your story. But I just believe in my heart somebody is going through the motions now. And I'm telling you, going through the motions doesn't stand for nothing. The prison principles only stand up in prison. Prison principles and prison laws and rules and this and that, you know, we don't do this. I remember a dude jumped on another dude because he had faced his shoes to the east while he was sweeping. You don't face my shoes to the east. Man, I remember you sleeping in the back of a car. Which way are they facing in? You know what I mean? But we get these principles and these kind of stupid idiosyncrasies and we want to stand on them and pretend like if this, you know, somebody sitting there saying, well, loud or no, I'm getting high. Loud or no, I'm still trying to sell. Loud or no, I got this going on. It ain't up to loud, no way. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. You know what gives status? To be humble. I called Carl the other day because I knew a family had just had a baby and they didn't have anything. I called Carl and Carl met me in front of the house to give the people diapers and food and things like that. They don't even know Carl, never seen him. Carl never seen them. Carl has helped the life of somebody who's never even seen him. How many people's lives have changed that you don't even know because of people like me that you've helped? See, I've dealt with people in different towns and different states that you don't even know I've ever talked to, but it's because of where you were when you were there that they're where they are today. That's what gave me some status. When I finally began to understand and be a man, I finally began to understand that it just didn't take all that. I began to understand that I didn't want to do that no more. On my way down here, I stopped on Lewis Street to see my brother. I got a brother who lives on the corner of Lewis and Monroe in that field. I go down there to see him. He's out there, standing there in the rain with his walker standing looking at me. He had called me the other day to come get his clothes. Cause he say, the bush I got my clothes hidden in, the leaves are falling off, somebody gonna take my stuff. I wanna tell him, man, everybody gonna take them too long with the stuff, man. I wanna tell him that, but I didn't, Marvin. See, because I'm more humble than that today. But I told him, Bus, I done brought you home with me, man, so many times. I said, it don't work. I said, after you give up all your resources, you turn all your stuff out, then you want to come live with me until it's time to get your stuff again. Then all of a sudden you need to go back downtown. And it, you know, I said, no, you can't do that. I said, I'm not going to do my wife or my stepdaughter that way. So he got mad at me. He wouldn't speak to me. I went down there yesterday and seen him. He wouldn't look at me. After church, I rode past there, and I'm standing right there, and he's looking this way. Somebody said, man, your brother calling you. I know it. You know. Wouldn't speak to me. I rode down there today. It's raining. I said, Buster, where are your clothes at, man? They in that bush back there, man. I'm on. I said, I tell you what, when I leave Faith Base, I'll come get your clothes and put in the trunk. I said, man, I mean, I don't know what you want to do. I said, every time we get you a place and you go somewhere, you turn around and leave. See, I mean, you always feel that hubris, that foolish pride. When you get $200 in your pocket, you think you're the kingpin because you got a plan, Chief. I got a plan what I'm going to do this time. I'm not going to buy no two or three rocks. I'm going to buy a little bag, and I'm going to start selling some. That works for about an hour or two. By 9 o'clock that night, you got about $30 left and no rocks. And then you get that old whale story. Oh, well. But what I'm trying to tell you, you give your life to God. I haven't gone wrong since May 21st, 2011. Now, I've made mistakes, but I haven't committed any crimes. I haven't hit nobody in the face. I haven't slept with a woman that wasn't my wife since all these years because I humbled myself and told God I was just going to do it right the best I know how. Therefore, I just want to walk it out and be the best I could be. You know, I left so much human wreckage behind. I don't want to leave no more human wreckage behind. I'm tired of that, man. I'm tired of somebody's life being jacked up because of me. And God knows I'm tired of going down to the prison. I'm tired of going through RDC, sitting in this room naked with about 25 other dudes you don't know. All you're on the bench naked side by side. And somebody want to talk about the Cubs. You see that Cubs game? Man, I ain't trying to talk, brother. Leave me alone. We ain't got nothing to talk about right now. You know, let me get some clothes and come on to the house and talk to me. You know, but I was so tired of that. I was so tired of when somebody hollered, 86, 58, 72. Oh, yeah, what's up? I got tired of that because that was my name for about 20 years. I was doing life in prison on 5-year installments. My name was 86, 58, 72. That was my name. They didn't call me Lyle. They didn't call me Mr. Calsall. 86, 58, 72. That's how I got my commissary. That's how I got my mails. That's how I got my clothes. That's how I got everything. That's not my name today. Amen. That's not my name. I let God name me today. Amen. You know, I ask God to give me a name. You know, I just, it don't matter. I'm going to Anderson Friday. They asked me to come up and speak. And I am always honored when someone asks me to come. And I'm like her, I'm going to go. Anytime I get a chance to go tell somebody what the enemy did to me, what he took from me, and how he's about killed me, about ruined my life, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. But I know my status isn't because I'm standing up on the trumpet. I'm not because I'm on the soapbox. That's not it. My status is because I finally got honest and realized I was just a fool. I was an idiot. I mean, just sleeping in abandoned cars, sleeping in hallways, just wherever I could find a place to sleep, stealing to eat every day, running crazy, not welcome in your mother and father's house. Have you ever not been welcome in your mother and father's house? That's probably the craziest feeling, Marvin, in the whole world. When you walk down the street and you see the TV on and the light on in your mother and father's house, you see the smoke coming out the chimney, and you ring the bell, and they go upstairs. They go upstairs and look out the window and say, what you want? You know you've made some silly decisions in your life. See, I came to places like this, and I BS'd. I played like I was trying to get it. I wasn't trying to get it. I was trying to get through. I use things like this to try to get off of the system, try to get out of the system. I'd be at the little halfway house, and I'd be the guy with all the little books. I have 15 concordance and 10 Bibles and other kind of stuff stacked up, all little literature stacked up in my corner. So you think I was just hunky dory? The day I leave out, I leave all that stuff there. I left it all there and always went back. It's only by the grace of God I've made it. Somebody might say to you, maybe you might say to yourself, well, Al, you didn't quit. This is what I get from my brother. He said, well, Al, you didn't quit till you was ready. You went out all them years. But I got to tell him, yeah, remember I got shot in the head on Lewis and Francis Street? See, remember I got stabbed down there off Lewis and McCulloch? You remember they left me for dead on the corner of Biles and McKinney and beat me with them baseball bats? I got to tell them stories. You remember that? See, I said, Buster, you may not survive. You may not survive some of the things I went through. You may not survive. I don't know how I survived. I do know, only by the grace of God. It just wasn't for me. He had something for me to do, and he wasn't going to let me leave until I do it. And I told him, I said, all the times I'm locked up, I remember I went down to the farm first time, and I called myself going to tell them what I'm going to do. Then people put me down in the basement in the dark, and there was water on the floor, and there was a little cotton thing, and when they closed the door, you can't see because all the light's gone now. Ain't no windows, ain't no creak of a light, and I'm sitting there with my feet up on that thing, scared to death. I hear stuff walking through the water, you know what I mean? I hear stuff crawling through the water. See, but I can't tell nobody that because I'm Lyle Kelsall. Can't tell nobody I'm scared. I'm Mr. Lyle. Pam, I scared to death up in that little room. I was glad when they come and got me up out of that place. I'm trying to tell you, let God come in and clean you up from the inside out. See, today I may make mistakes sometime. I may not make the best decision, but my decisions are not based on criminal intent. My decisions are not intent on beating somebody. My intentions are not on trying to rob somebody and rip somebody off or hurt somebody. You know, and that's what status is about. You become humble. See, because God has blessed my life. I got a good job. I've been hurt, you know, for the last 4 years. How many surgeries I've had, Marvin? 5 in the last 4 years? Every time you look up, I've got a cast on or I'm back on a walker. You know, I hadn't been to the doctor in 30 years. And I kept asking God, what am I doing wrong? Amen. God just wanted to see if I was going to do what I needed to do. In spite of, it'd been easy for me to quit and say, man, I'm hurting. I'm not going back over there. I'm going to get high. I'm going to get something to forget about this. But I held on. I held on to the brothers who held on to me. And I held on to God because I just wasn't going to go back. I wasn't going to do it because I'm going to tell you something. You're out today, and if you've been to prison, you've heard this saying. Oh, man, I heard they're going to start giving 3-for-1 in Indiana because the prisons are overcrowded. They was telling me that since 1986, Chief. They ain't gave 3-for-1, but they done built a whole lot many more prisons. And there's a cell with your name on it. If you want to continue to be who you used to be, there's a cell with your name on it if you live to get there. See, because I'm not confused. I may have a few suits. I may have a few nice suits at home. I may live in a nice neighborhood. I may live in a nice house in a big bed. But I'm going to tell you something. If I fall dead right here, somebody else is going to have all that tomorrow. You know, in the Bible, they talk about the man who saw his harvest was so great that he went out and built more barns and more silos. You know, he didn't think about nobody else. He began to stuff it up with all this stuff. All these things, he got all this stuff up in there. When he got it all fixed in and stood back and looked at it like, yeah, I got it. And God said, you fool. Say, this day I require of thee thy soul. This day. Nobody in this room knows when he's going to say this day to you or to me. The guy at my job just died. Broke me down. I got him and his girlfriend because his girlfriend started. I got her out there. And then he started, and then she was struggling. She was struggling. We took her food. I threw Carl before I got food for her to bring to the job and different things. She was struggling. And I said, where's your boyfriend at? I tried to talk to him loud, but I used to get mad at him for her. You know what I mean? Chief, I told him, I said, hey, And this is what I told them, Mick, because I thought I was giving them the best advice I can give her as a minister, a man of God. I said, put that guy out. Put him out your house. He ain't going to help you. Then her car broke down. Now, I lived way out there on Grove Street at that time, and she lived over there off of Creighton Street. I would ride and get her and take her to work and take her back home. Me and my brother took turns doing that. She came to me and said, well, I got this thing. Somebody want to give me a car for $1,000. It's a real nice car. Can you get the 10-Point Coalition to help us? I called the 10-Point Coalition. And they've got a good, I believe in the 10-Point Coalition. I believe in them. I stand with them. I'll endorse them. But they said, because you don't live in this neighborhood, we can only deal with people in this neighborhood at this time. At that time, I have to be doing okay, Mick. So I went to the bank during my lunch hour, and I got $1,000 out. And I gave it to her. And I said, just pay me back when you can. She looked at me, and because I knew she wanted, I watched her work hard. I watched her do the overtime and do what she could do. And she said, well, I'll give you $100 a week, because she was grateful. I said, no, you can't afford that. I said, don't you give me $100. I said, I'll tell you what, just give me $50. On a week you got to pay rent, don't even worry about giving me nothing. But that, she tarried and did it, and she finally got it all paid off after a while. It took a while, but it was okay. Amen. And then her husband wanted to talk to me, her boyfriend. I talked to him. He said, hey, can you get me out there? Got him in out there. He started driving the forklift and driving the log. He was really talented, real good man. And the other day, this day, God said, this day, I require of thee thy soul. I don't know why. I don't ask God why. I did, but when he's gone, she called me and says, I need you to pray for me. Tell him what's going on. And she said, can you preach his service for me? And can you find a church that I can take him to? Because they didn't belong to a church. So I went and talked to my pastor. He said, yeah, you can come here. You can come here. And I'm gonna preach the service. My friend. He was my friend. You know, and that's what life's about. Look to your left. Everybody look to your left. Just look to your left. Now turn around and look to your right. That's your brother, that's your sister you're looking at. Two are stronger than one, and three is a strand not easily broken. Help each other, man. Get up. When I'm down, help me. When she's down, help her. Let's help each other. Let God tell you who you are. I'm going to tell you something. You can't be God-given, because every time you give in the name of the Lord, God sees to it that you have more than enough. I learned that through my brothers and my sisters, and through this program a lot. They've helped me when I was down and out. But I'm telling you something. That's where your status come from. You can come here, so maybe somebody's coming just to get out the sale. That's okay. Maybe somebody's coming here just to get the meal. That's okay. Maybe somebody's coming here because there's a girl they like. I'm not accused of anything. But you know, that's okay. Whatever you come for, get what they got here. How many people in here have ever... I said like this, how foolish would you be to fall and break your arm and go to the emergency room, and when the doctor comes in, he said, what's wrong? Nothing. What you here for? Nothing. You sit down there for an hour, hour and a half, and go on back home with your arm still broke. Never even looked at the problem. How foolish would that be? Why would you come to a place where God has opened the door that you can leave all that garbage and get it off your shoulders? I'm telling you, when you let that junk go, amen, it was such a relief for me. And I'm going to tell you, your story may not be mine. I'm not trying to tell you to be like me. When I finally did that, I cried for 3 straight days. I couldn't even talk. Every time somebody tried to talk to me, I was talking through tears. Had to keep a tissue with me, bob my nose run, just crying for 3 straight days. But you know what? That started that May 21st, 2011. Pam, I haven't looked back. I haven't used no dope since then. Have I got mad sometime? Yeah, I didn't use no dope. Have I been discouraged? Yeah, but I didn't use no dope. Have I been disappointed sometime? Yeah, but I didn't use no dope. Had the people come against me and lied on me? Yeah, but I didn't use no dope. You know, had things closed up on me, jobs left me, different things. I didn't have the money I needed. Yeah, but I didn't use no dope. I didn't go back to yesterday. I just refused to ever let that be an option. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, don't let that be an option. You have a chance today. All these mentors. Now listen, all these mentors, I've been to some of the houses, I know them, and they could be home watching TV Monday Night Football. Chief still newly, well, they're still on their honeymoon. They could be somewhere to fire, getting down, anywhere, you know what I mean? But they're here. Mick got a beautiful place out there, but he's here. Carl, lovely man, awesome man of God, just friendly as he can be. He could be somewhere different, but they're here. You know why they're here? To help you get to where we are. I live out there in I can't think of the name of the place now. North Point Canyon, the ridge. Beautiful home. I can be down there, I got a beautiful wife, great cook. But I want somebody else to have that too. I want to see somebody else be happy. And I'm telling you, the Black Gangster Disciples not gonna give it to you. The Aryan Brotherhood, not going to give it to you. The Latin Kings, not going to give it to you. None of that, not, all that stuff, man, is conditional. Conditional. I remember we used to be lined up, I had our forks on, I got a little tattoo showing, we doing our thing. Police come to take me to the hole. I'm standing there with about 10 Black gangster disciples. I think we're going to fight our way out of this. Hey, they say, we? What are you, French? We who? You know, hey, look at him. And as they dragging me down the hall, and I see him back there. I got your back. Yeah, you know, I got my back way back. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting out in the hole by myself. Sitting in the hole by myself. Getting claustrophobic, walking that thing, going nuts to try to show off. I'm telling you, somebody let God, give God a try. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight's the night. You don't got to do it in front of everybody, or you can do it in front of everybody. Because me, Pam, when I knew I was through, I ran to the altar. I didn't care what it looked like. I was sitting in a sixth seat like that in the second row. I jumped over the pews, because I couldn't get out fast enough. There were people standing on both sides of me. Man, I wanted to be something different. I jumped over the second pew. I come on out of there. And God met me. Amen. He met me, and he's been there ever since. He walks with me in every way. You know, I had people at work lie on me. And I couldn't figure out who the guy. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to close. I had a guy that, when he first came to Fort Wayne, my family would go get him, bring him to all our little cookouts and everything. We included him in. He needed a job. He wanted to be on first. I went in and talked for him, and they gave me a favor. So, okay, Lyle, we're going to get him on first. He put him on first. His car broke down, and I used to go pick him up and take him back and forth to work. They got stuff together. He would call me no less than 20 times and want to borrow $30, $40, $50, $60, $70 in the middle of the night. I'd tell him, well, come on by. And then I was giving out turkeys and ham for Christmas. I made sure he got one of each. He got married. For some reason, he jumped on his wife. I don't know the particulars, but I knew he was wrong. But I talked to my boss, and he said, well, I'll go downtown and talk for him and see if you can help him. I went down there to misdemeanor court and talked for him, and they let him out. And that dude started picking on me. Mm-hmm. That dude started picking on me. Now listen, I am no pushover, Marvin, by nobody who stretches the imagination. Mm-hmm. Even today, you know, 63 years old and a new hip, I'm no pushover. I just never have been. But I'm on a cane, I'm walking like this here, I'm barely getting around, the dude started picking on me. He picked on me in every way he could, man. He just called me out one time in the break room, all kind of stuff. I never could figure out what happened. But you know what? My salvation, my happiness, my calling is not predicated on how he treats me. My salvation, my happiness, and my calling is predicated on how I treat him. Amen. And I never gave him a crossword. From this day to that, I've never given him a crossword. And you know, I see him, I say, hey, Brad, how you doing? Hey, you know, I don't know why, and I may never know why. So why is this not always important? But what I'm trying to tell you, your life, your calling, and everything is predicated on what you do with the Lord, on how you behave and you follow him. He said, you be obedient, you eat the fat of the land. I weigh 272 pounds, Marvin. I ain't never been that big in my life. But you know what? Rick, I'm eating the fat of the land. You know what my problem is at dinner time? It's what do I want to eat? It's not if I can find something. My problem is what do I want? Go in one of them freezers and get you something. Go here and get you something. If I run out of, you know, running out of gas, no longer a problem making my life. When I go to gas station, I'm right to go, hey, give me $6.32. No longer that. I can fill up my car when I go to the gas station. I don't ask how much it is. I fill up my car, Marvin. My car needs to be full because I need to be able to get around. And I'm saying that because I love you. That, I know you've heard that word, and you may not, that people say that you word and use it so loosely. I love you. You call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're in trouble. I'm coming to see about you because I know God's going to protect me, and God wants you to bring, wants me to bring out. When we get to see God and get to heaven, there's only one thing you can take. Souls. Anybody got any questions? If nobody got any questions, everybody's all right. I think I'm gonna ask my brother Chief to close up for us tonight.
Father, we just praise you because, Lord, we know in whom we trust, Lord. I just ask, Father, if there's decisions to be made tonight, Lord,
yes,
to be made. Lord, I bind every evil intent, everything that Satan would try to do, whispering ears and
tell
this is all this and all that. But Lord, the truth is the truth. The truth is that you are for us and not against us. You love us even no matter what, Lord. You came and died while we were yet sinners.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, blessings upon everyone that leaves here tonight. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. And I ask, Father, that you would just